Welcome, everybody, to the Aaron Ty Cap Adventure Radio Program. I am Matt, your host. Today is July 30th, 2016, and we're going to be here live for the next hour and approximately 56 minutes. Man, and it's going to go fast. Ladies and gentlemen, give me a call, 254-697-6633. Tell me something. You know what I want? I want you all out there to help me out with something. I want you to call up, and I want you to tell me what you are doing out there in the public realm to help others, to help the community, to do something in a positive light. It's not to boast or brag. It's to show other people that it doesn't take much to become involved with life, to do something in a positive fashion as compared to sitting there and doing nothing. I want all the active participants in life, informed active participants in life, if you're listening to me, give me a call. Let's get you on. Be brief. Just say, hey, this is what we're doing. No need to boast or brag. Just let people know it doesn't take much to get involved to help others. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I always have an opinion piece, and I've always got an opinion. Some people like it, and some people don't. For those of you who don't like it, I really don't care. For those of you who do like it, give me a call, give me a comment. All the bad comments, you can call Trey up. He'll be more than happy to talk to you. The number here is 254-697-6633. Now, ladies and gentlemen, a couple of weeks ago in my opinion piece, I made a point of how stupid it was to think if you could ban guns, that mass killings would go away. Well, once again, I'm proven right on this subject. So my opinion piece is called Still Think It's the Weapon That Kills? I'm going to read to you an article now. And you've all heard this by now. But it's knife attack. At least 19 killed, about 20 injured in a knifing near Tokyo. At least 19 people were killed and about 20 wounded in a knife attack Tuesday at a facility for the handicapped in a city just outside Tokyo in the worst mass killings in generations in Japan. Police said they responded to a call about 2:30 a.m. from an employee saying something horrible was happening at the facility west of Tokyo. A man turned himself in at a police station about 2 hours later. He left the knife in the vehicle. He's been arrested on suspicion of attempted murder and trespassing, whatever. Ladies and gentlemen, my point is, if there was one person in there that had a gun, the massacre would have most likely been stopped. The good guys outnumber the bad guys by a lot. The reason the bad guys are winning right now is because the good guys are coming up with asinine policies of gun bans, gun restrictions, places you can go, places you can't go with a gun, etc. It is proven time and time again, the bad guys don't care about the laws. Don't care that a sign says no guns allowed, and certainly don't care about you. The way you fix this is to allow anyone who wants to carry a gun, that is a law-abiding citizen, of course, to carry one. I'll give you an example. Two stores, one right next to the other. One store posts a sign that says no guns allowed. The other has no signs. Where do you think the bad guy is going to go if he wants to rob a store? That's right. The one that restricts gun possession. So, seeing here in this story that a gun wasn't needed to cause a massacre, but that a gun could have surely stopped it, let's stop being silly and stupid and fight to preserve our rights to bear arms instead of being scared and trying to solve a problem with ignorance and fear. It's not the knife. It's not the truck. It's not the baseball bat. It's not the gun that kills. It's the person. Let's work on that problem, and until that problem is fixed, I'll have my gun at the ready to defend myself. So, that's my thoughts. That's my opinion. If you don't like it, give Trey a call. If you like it, give me a call. 254-697-6633. Before I go into show highlights, I've got to read this here. This is happening today. This is my WTF, one of my WTFs for today. Skydiver working without net, but no parachute. I saw that, I go, huh? I know, I used to jump out of planes, so I'm thinking, what? No parachute. Those are two bad words I don't like to hear. Let's see, this is California. He's made 18,000 parachute jumps helped train some of the world's most elite skydivers, done some of the stunts for Iron Man 3, but the plunge Luke Akins knows he'll be remembered for is the one he's making without a parachute, or a wingsuit, or anything, really, other than the clothes he'll be wearing when he jumps out of an airplane at 25,000 feet this weekend, attempting to become the first person to land safely on the ground in a net. The Fox Network will broadcast the 2-minute jump live at 7 p.m. Saturday, today, as part of an hour-long TV special called Heaven Sent, or Heaven Splattered, one of the two. Ladies and gentlemen, 7 o'clock tonight, Fox Network, trust me, it'll be on delay. If they screw it up, if he screws up and misses the mark, man... It says here later in the article they had test dummies, and one of the dummies went through it just like a projectile. And he looks at it, and he's basically saying, you know, that's what tests are for. We look at the problems and we fix them. So this guy's jumping out of a plane 25,000 feet in the air without a freaking parachute or a wingsuit or anything, and he's going to zero in on a half football field sized net, elevated to a point where when he hits it, it should not... Anyway, 7 o'clock today, Fox News. Check it out. Maybe we'll report on it next week. All right, show highlights. Today's License to Carry segment will cover signage again. Many people still have questions and are still unsure of where they can go and where they can't. And to be honest, everyone, I believe it's a lack of study on those people's parts. Carrying a gun is not for giggles, so you need to learn the signs and the laws that go with it. As usual, I'm going to read 3 stories from the NRA's American Rifleman, the Armed Citizens column, and see what we can learn and glean from those true stories. In my pep section, we're going to listen to another pre-recorded interview from one of my sponsors, the Cross-Eyed Bull. Owner Alan Lynch has lots to tell us about old hand tools, so you know this prepper part of the show is going to be great for you guys and gals out there who want tools that do jobs that require electricity, but back in the day you didn't have it, and these are things that you can use. My topic of interest section will be from WRBSales.com, Bill Banlow. The owner is a good friend of mine and another sponsor to the program. I'll be talking about his Pretender holster, pretty neat little item. And today's product spotlight will be the Ruger LCR-22 long rifle, the revolver. My good friend and sponsor, Arch Kuntz, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, and he's got this pretty little thing on his shelf right now, so I'm going to give you details about it in our product spotlight section. And if we have time, my gun training demo will talk about half-cock, decock, and hammer block safeties. This is very important information that everyone needs to know when handling a firearm. And at the 11 o'clock hour, Cameron Police Chief Randy Dixon will be in studio with me, and is the mouthpiece for the segment of the program called Voice of Law Enforcement. So I look forward to listening to him there. First time I think we'll be together here in studio together. We've been pretty busy the last month and a half. Now, in my interview segment, I'll be rebroadcasting an interview with Officer Paul Benton. Last week was part 1, and today we'll be broadcasting part 2. And with any luck, I'll throw in another WTF moment here and there. So without further delay, ladies and gentlemen, get your pens and paper ready, take notes, and let's get started with the program. And once again, if you want to become part of the program, the phone number here is 254-697-6633. I put out a request there to you informed, active participants in society. Give us a call here. Let us know what you're doing out there. Make it short, brief, simple. Let people know it doesn't take much to get involved in the community, in a person next door or whatever. Just don't sit there like a couch potato doing nothing. You can be useful to someone or a community or something like that. So give us a call, 254-697-6633. Moving on to our license to carry segment. Ladies and gentlemen, this is one topic that I can go over until I'm blue in the face and people will still have questions. Because of that, I'm going to go over signage again. Now, I've developed a method of teaching this that helps people to remember it better, and hopefully I can convey it to you over the radio to some certain degree. When we're in the class, it's so much easier. Not only do you see me, you hear me, You get to see the signage and all that kind of stuff. So I'm going to try and convey it through the radio here. It's really a two-step process. You know, one, you got to know the law. Two, you got to know the signs. If you know both the law and the signs, then determining if you can go into a premise will be very simple. I mean, I know it sounds simple, but I make learning that simple. The one thing that can trump you is if the owner of the property or someone acting for the owner gives you a verbal command to leave or not enter at all with the weapon, concealed or not. So let me read to you two very important penal codes, penal code 30-06 and 30-07, and then I'm going to show you signs, and then I'm going to show you some signs that are no good. Okay. So once again, I go to my trusty little workbook, and I'm going to pull out penal codes 30-06 and 30-07 and read to you what they are. This section creates an offense for a license holder to carry a handgun on the property of another if he had noticed that either entry on the property by a license holder with a handgun was forbidden, or remaining on the property with a handgun was forbidden and the license holder failed to depart. The section requires oral or written notice by the owner of the property or someone with apparent authority to act for the owner. In order for a license holder to receive written notice, a card, sign, or document must contain the following language. Now, this is going to be Penal Code 30-06. Pursuant to Section 30-06 Penal Code, trespass by a license holder with a concealed handgun, a person licensed under Subchapter H, Chapter 411 Government Code, Handgun Licensing Law, may not enter this property with a concealed handgun, or Penal Code 30-07. Penal code, pursuant to Section 30-07, Penal Code, trespass by a license holder with an openly carried handgun, a person licensed under Subchapter H, Chapter 411, Government Code, Handgun Licensing Law, may not enter this property with a handgun that is carried openly. I'm going to recap all this, so I'm just reading it just to get it through here. If the notice is given by a sign on the property, now listen very carefully. If the notice is given by a sign on the property, the sign must be in both English and Spanish. Must be in contrasting colors, with block letters, at least 1 inch in height, and must be displayed in a conspicuous manner, clearly visible to the public. It is an exception to an application of this section that the property on which the license holder carries a handgun is owned or leased by a governmental entity and is not a premises or other place on which the license holder is prohibited from carrying the handgun under Section 4603 and 46035 Penal Code. That finishes up that section. But now, let's go back. Let's recap this. If you go, ladies and gentlemen, to aaronsgunshop.com and go to the Facebook page, you'll get to see this video probably Sunday or Monday. So pay attention, take some notes, and if you want to see, because I'm going to be showing you the different signs, and I'll try to convey them through the radio here. Or you can go to the YouTube channel, Aaron's Gun Shop YouTube channel, and check it out as well. Let's start off with this one, though. We'll get back to Penal Code 30-06 and 30-07. And, Trey, I'm going to have you help me here, okay? I'm showing in the video a sign. I'd like you to read the top of the sign. Well, let me describe it. It's a rectangular sign, long ways up and down. Very big word up on top says notice. And then there's the paragraph of writing down below it. Trey, read to me the first two black sentences.
The unlicensed possession of a weapon on these premises is a felony with a maximum penalty of 10 years imprisonment.
Okay, that's good. Go back up to the first two black words.
The unlicensed.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a license to carry, does this sign pertain to you? Trey, what do you think?
Nope.
Because it says the person who's unlicensed, but you have a license. So in reality, this sign means nothing to you. The reason this sign is posted is because Alcoholic Beverage Commission, Texas Alcoholic Beverage Commission, places this sign up in a location where alcohol is being sold. Not consumed, but sold, like liquor stores, convenience stores. And they post this sign. So if you go in there and you see the unlicensed possession, and you're a licensed carrier, walk right past it. Now, let's turn it over. We got the rectangular sign again, but it goes long ways now, from left to right. It has a big 51% on it, and depending on how long the sun's been hitting it, it could be purple, red, orange, it just depends. This sign is for a location deemed by the Texas Alcoholic Beverage Commission of a place that not only serves alcohol, but you have on-premise consumption of alcohol. Do you drink alcohol in a liquor store? No. It's illegal. Do you drink alcohol in a bar? Yes. So this sign would go to a place like a bar. And no, your Chili's and your Bennigan's aren't going to do that. They sell way more food than they do alcohol. The 51% states they make 51% or more of their profits from the sale or service of alcoholic beverages for on-premise consumption. That's a felony if you go in there, okay? So we learned one sign is worthless to us. It's a waste of a tree. The other one is a 51% felony. That's where you go consume alcohol. Now, let's go to our other signs. And this one here, the Penal Code 30-6 sign. Let me show it in the camera here. You'll notice, if you can just remember this, Penal Code 30-6, but I wanted you to see the sign. It doesn't necessarily have to be these colors, but it for sure has to say the proper verbiage like I told you in here, because the sign, it says here, notice is given by a sign on the property. The sign must be in both English and Spanish. Top is English, bottom is Spanish. Must be in contrasting colors. This particular one is blue on a white background. And the block letter is at least 1 inch in height. It must be displayed in a conspicuous manner, clearly visible to the public. Ladies and gentlemen, if you saw this sign and it's at the front door and you go in, hello, you're wrong. Okay, it's pretty obvious. It says 30-6. 30-6 is for when you're carrying concealed. This pertains to a concealed carry. Okay. Now, if you would decide to carry in the open, they have this sign now, and it's called Penal Code 30-7. So you have to look at the numbers. Penal Code 30-6, Penal Code 30-7. If I go into a facility and it just has a Penal Code 30-6 sign and I'm wearing my gun concealed, what do you think I could do? I got two choices. I could walk out because I don't know the law and like I should know it, or I can say, well, they say I can't wear it concealed, so what I'm going to do is untuck my shirt and let the gun show. Then I'm in okay. But now let's say you're wearing your gun out in the open, and you go into a location that has the Penal Code 30-7 sign. It says, we want no open carry in this facility, okay? I say, well, fine, I'll just put my shirt over it. So you're good to go. But now, what happens if they put both signs up? What then, Trey?
You're out of luck.
You're out of luck, and guess who makes the money? They're competitors, because I'm not going to go into a victim disarmament zone and pay them money for it. I'm not going to do it. Victim disarmament zone. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. If you have a business and you post those signs up, if you post one or the other, okay, I can dig it. If you don't want a concealed gun, I'll carry in the open. If you don't want an open carry, you want to conceal, okay, I can dig it. But if you post both signs, guess what? I'm telling everybody I know to go do business with somebody else, because you're putting me in a position of danger, because a bad guy is going to look at it based on my opinion piece. He's going to say, hey, no guns allowed in there. It's free reign. I can have free reign and rob everybody I want with minimal chance of guns. But if I go to a place with no signs, I got no idea who's in there packing heat and who's going to confront me if I try to rob somebody. Okay? So those are your signs. The one thing that trumps it all, you don't have to have any signs. But if the owner or somebody's acting for the owner stands outside and says, sir, I don't know who you are, and I'm just letting you know, if you're licensed to carry or you don't have a license, we are not permitting anybody on here with weapons. They're giving you a verbal command, and then if you go in there, it's trespassing, okay? So you can't do that either. That's it. You want to learn? Oh, let me show you some other signs that people think, I can't go in there because I saw a sign. Trey, I'm going to have you read them for me. I'm putting them up to the screen. Trey, read this sign. This would be a sign somebody would get confused by. What's the first one say, Trey?
Notice, no guns on this property.
Now, the law says it's got to be in compliance. That is nowhere close to compliance. What about this one, Trey?
All firearms restricted from these premises.
Sounds pretty authoritative, doesn't it? But it means nothing to you, the license to carry holder, because the law specifically states to give proper notice. It has to be a certain way, Penal Code 30-6 and 30-7. How about this one?
No guns, fools. And that means you.
Okay. And then we've got, oh, this is an important one.
It says firearms prohibited and has this little circle with the line through it on a gun.
For some reason, people freak out when they see that circle with the slash line in the gun. Firearms prohibited. I can't go in there. Well, yes, you can, because you're a licensed carry holder. The state says for them to keep you out, they got to post a proper sign. How about this one?
More or less the same thing. No guns allowed. And it's got the circle with the slash through it.
Okay, so there you go. Signs you can take a look at. Go to my Facebook page. Go to my YouTube page. Probably Monday or so it should be up, and you can take a look at all these things there. Ladies and gentlemen, you spend a lot of money, and you spend a lot of time to get yourself armed for self-protection. Why will you submit yourself to people who don't know what they're talking about and restrict your rights to be able to defend yourself? Why would you do that? It's just very simple. You sign up for one of my classes, which I've actually got one on August 6th, Saturday at 2 o'clock. You sign up and I'll set you straight. I've got very easy ways to teach you on how to remember this so that you don't get restricted carrying your weapon unless you choose not to carry it there, okay? So that's the way it works. Moving on. Once again, the number here, 254-697-6633. Give us a call. Moving on to our NRA segment. In this section, I'm going to read to you three stories from the NRA's armed citizens page, from the American Rifleman, and hopefully from these true stories, we can learn what to do and what not to do, and maybe even get a laugh or two in the process. It all depends on the story. Now, if you're not a member of the NRA, you might consider becoming one. The more gun supporters they have, the more muscle they have to stop bad legislation. All right, story number one. These are coming out. I'll tell you what, you NRA people out there, if you got your monthly magazine, this is coming out of August 2016, so you can read along with me. Page 10. Story number one. Fear for his family's safety was the reason a man in Shoreline, Washington, used a handgun to thwart an early morning break-in at the family home. The homeowner was awakened around 3 a.m. by the sound of someone yelling and kicking at the door. The resident ushered his wife and two children to one room of the home for safety. Then he grabbed his gun, a 9mm Luger, and his older daughter called 911. While the daughter was talking to the dispatchers, the family heard the sound of shattering glass. The head of the household went to see what was going on and saw that an intruder had used a piece of lawn furniture to break a window. The suspect saw the homeowner and started moving toward him. The armed citizen shot in response. Police say no charges were expected to be filed against the resident. My commentary. Ladies and gentlemen, the homeowner, in my opinion, did very well in his procedures except for one thing. At 3 a.m., when someone is yelling and kicking at your door, is when you should have your handgun in your hand. The moment you realize danger, arm yourself, especially at 3 o'clock in the morning. And if you've been reading the papers and listening to the news, you know some thugs are running around Cameron here, knocking on people's doors. Don't knock on mine. Story number two. Two armed citizens who witnessed a drug deal gone bad in New Mexico used their guns to hold a shooter captive until the police arrived to take the suspect into custody. Officers were called to respond to a 7-Eleven after dispatchers received reports of a ruckus. Two men apparently had been fighting over drugs near the parking lot of the convenience store. One of the bad guys pulled a gun and fired several rounds, hitting the other man involved in the drug deal in the leg and nearly shooting some bystanders. Two armed citizens, seeing passerbyers in danger, tackled the shooter. After they took him down, each pulled a handgun and made sure neither bad guy could flee the area. The shooter faces charges of aggravated assault and other local charges, and the Albuquerque, New Mexico police said federal charges are possible because it was a convicted felon who was illegally in possession of a firearm. My commentary. Two armed citizens tackled the shooter. Then they took out their weapons to hold the bad guys until police arrived. That is called defense of a third person. We talk about it. We did talk about it on last week's show. Listen to the podcast at AaronsGunShop.com radio show page to learn more about that, or sign up for one of my classes, okay? And I got a class on August 6th at 2 o'clock. Give us a call here or go to the website and sign up. Story number three. When a serial armed robber was on the loose in Indiana, just the threat of being shot by a targeted victim was enough to bring his spree to an end. The robbery suspect accosted a woman and flashed a gun at her. Instead of cowering in fear, she pulled out her own concealed handgun and he turned and ran away. Police caught the fleeing suspect and ended up linking him to a string of break-ins and robberies in the area. The suspect was arrested and charged in connection with possession of stolen handgun, possession of stolen property, and other related crimes. my commentary. Ladies and gentlemen, although this is not a guarantee, most bad guys are cowards. That is why they try to find the easiest marks possible. So stand tall, look prepared, be prepared, and your odds of survival will greatly increase. Okay? That's your NRA segment of the day, of the week. Once again, they're all on podcast. You just go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the radio show page, and you can listen to this current one, this current show, or listen to any podcast in the past. Lots of good information. Go to the YouTube channel, Aaron's Gun Shop YouTube channel, for tons and tons of videos of training and interviews. And you can go to the Facebook page, too. Please like us on Facebook. Love to have your help. Okay, Trey, I think we're going to take a long break. And when we come back, I'll intro our pep section interview with Alan Lynch, the owner of the Cross-Eyed Bull.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives. And a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417. WRBSales.com takes pride in manufacturing the highest quality firearms gear. They use only the very best materials in their products. 1,000-denier Cordura nylon, ballistic nylon, and heavy-duty YKK zippers. All of their handmade, high-quality gear comes with a limited lifetime warranty and a complete satisfaction guarantee. And much of their gear has seen actual combat duty. WRBSales.com is your one-stop shop for all your firearms gear and accessories. And whether you're looking for maximum concealment, comfort, or a combination of both, WRB's products guarantee to deliver it even in the toughest of conditions. They know the industry inside and out, but more importantly, they know what you want. Explore from the best the industry has to offer only at WRBSales.com. That's WRBSales.com.
You're going to go crazy at the Cross-Eyed Bull when you see all the great stuff from years gone by. Wagons, old tools, lamps, well pumps, stoves, water barrels. The Cross-Eyed Bull in the Grove, Texas, between Belton and Gatesville on Highway 36 is the place to be for the antiquer, decorator, prepper, or just anyone who wants to take a look. Tractors, chicken coops, windmills, wagon wheels. The Cross-Eyed Bull in the Grove, Texas, between Belton and Gatesville on Highway 36. Or just call 254-717-717. 6400, the Cross-Eyed Bull. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Again, it is July 30th, 2016. My gosh, Trey, half the year is gone.
I know, right?
Completely gone. It's gone.
Dude, I started school back in like 2 weeks.
Man. I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure a lot of people can relate to this. Christmas has come very fast. It's like it was just like yesterday that Christmas was here. It's going to be here tomorrow, it feels like. Getting old. You never know, next week I might be dead at this rate of speed. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I've got great sponsors. I really do. If you enjoy this program, ladies and gentlemen, I'm serious. If you enjoy this program, it costs money. And I'm blessed to have great sponsors. They trust in me. They have faith in me. They like the program. They've got great products. They're long history of good service and products and handling customer service. If you want the program to stay on the air, I need support for the sponsors. Call them up. Tell them you heard it on this program. Go check them out. Before you buy anything, check them out. Let them know. They get happy. I get happy. You get happy. It's a big, happy circle. Okay? So check it out. You're laughing at me, Trey.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with
me.
You.
Okay. Okay. So our first sponsor of the day is the Cross-Eyed Bull. If you haven't been out there, you need to go. Get in your car now. Turn on the station here, 105.1 FM, The Ranch, and listen to me while you're driving out to the Grove between Belton and Gatesville on the right-hand side on Highway 36, and go see Alan Lynch and check out all his cool stuff. And while we're doing that, you can go to the Facebook page. There should be, yeah, there's a video on the Facebook page. You can check it out. And on the YouTube channel, Aaron's Gun Shop, if you don't want to just listen to it and you want to see what we're talking about, go there now. So without further ado, we're going to play about a 12-minute pre-recorded interview with Alan Lynch from the Cross-Eyed Bull concerning old hand tools that you can still use. It's pretty cool. There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, here we are once again at the Cross-Eyed Bull in Grove, Texas, between Belton and Gatesville on Highway 36. And the owners, Alan and Cynthia Lynch, just have an awesome place here. We've talked about it many times before. We've talked about so many different things and so many different products. But today what we're going to do is we're going to go inside and talk to Alan about hand tools of days gone by that still can be used today, but have been made much more modern as we live in today. Okay, so let's go inside and check him out, and he's going to show us a whole bunch of good tools from the past. Okay, everybody, here we are inside the Cross-Eyed Bull, but I'm making note of these orange cones. When you see these orange cones on the side of the road, you're here, okay? You can't miss them. You can see them a mile away. All right, Alan, how you doing? It's good to see you again.
Good morning.
I hear we got a lot of things going on when it comes to hand tools and things of days gone by that used to be top-notch. Now you could probably buy something more modern, but these still work, right?
That's correct. We're going to talk about old hand tools, most of them from the early 1900s, even some of them from the late 1800s.
Now, I want to tell you, I want to remind everybody, because the show is like a prepping show, I'm very keen on this, and a lot of people are very keen on this. They want to know, hey, what if I can't get power to use this? What can I use in replacing it? So there's going to be a few things here that you can take advantage of by Alan's knowledge, and possibly pick some up so that you too can have tools that you need when the power goes out. Okay, Alan, go ahead.
All right, well, the first thing we're going to talk about is a pair of hand shears. These were used before electricity was in every home or barn, and they used these for a number of purposes, shear sheep or goats and clip horses' manes, and they would just, you know, just be used like so, going down the horse's mane or shear a sheep. But can you imagine how long it took to shear a sheep with a pair of those?
You know, I was just thinking about that when you were talking about it. I'm thinking these guys must have Popeye arms, just using their hands all the time, squeezing it.
Right.
Being so manual like that, yeah, and I've seen it takes a little bit to shear a sheep. You know, it takes a couple minutes or so. So I can imagine what it would take with that.
That's right.
But it still works, right?
Still works.
And all it is really is what? Pressed steel shaped and put some torque on it. How's that work?
It's just, it's just made out of steel and, has a spring handle on it. These were probably hand forged by a blacksmith at one point, you know, because this was before manufacturing was everywhere. So a lot of the tools was made, you know, at home. And the next piece we have is a draw knife. Well, they used them predominantly. First, they used them to take the bark off the logs as they were building cabins and barns and things of that nature. You know, this is a smaller one used for finish work, but it's just used to hone down a log or a piece of wood and shape it in whatever shape or whatever size you need it.
So when it comes time to where you're out in the woods and you guys start building something from scratch, this is an important tool that would come in handy to get it down to the bare wood.
Yep.
It's so basic and simple in its design, yet it works, huh?
It does. It does. And, you know, this could still be sharpened up and used. I mean, it hasn't been used in a long time, but obviously, but it's a popular item, and we sell a lot of these.
Very good.
The next thing we're going to talk about is just this little drill. You know, a lot of places that you need a drill. Before generators came around, there's no electricity available, and sometimes that's still true today. But we do have generators and electric screw guns and things of that nature that's taken the place. But this is an older one that hasn't been used in a long time. But you know, I would think,
Alan, and that would be a very popular tool just for the reason: how many times has somebody put a screw in the wall? How many times do you drill a hole as compared to chopping down a tree or things of this nature? But you're going to always screw something in,
put up
a board. So that would come in very handy if you don't want to just do it with your wrist, you know, like this. If you're looking on the video, twist, 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 that's going to be a heck of a lot easier with the wheel system on it.
Absolutely. You know, a long time ago, you know, they didn't have electricity everywhere that they used these tools. And, you know, if you need to drill a hole to put a hinge on a gate or what have you. I mean, they used a bigger version of this, but that's what this tool would have been used for, to drill holes. You know, it's got a place there for your drill bits to go. This is a smaller version of an old Bryson bit. You've seen the old Bryson bits that turn that you drill holes. And anyway, just a neat little tool that's long, come from a long time ago. This is a wood plane, you know, a fairly good size one, but they would use this to shape lumber, to shape doors or whatever, you know.
I used to use those in wood shop too. Those come in very handy for some smaller things. You can actually do some small craft work, big craft work with these types of tools, these planers. So
yeah, and then this is just a smaller version of it, and this was made, I'm told, I'm not a woodworker, but I'm told this was made to shape trim. If you're going to do trim on the inside of a house or on the cabinets or doors or what have you, that this would have been used to shape that trim. And you can see how it's got a little different ridges here. To, I guess it makes
it'd be kind of like a router, an electric router, because you're going to trim the edge of a table, you get an electric router with a different bit like you're showing here.
Yeah.
And instead of using it by hand, you'd use it with electricity. When the electricity's out, you've got to make a special trim on it. There you go.
There it is. Yeah. You can see the blade still has the blade in it. Actually, it's still fairly sharp.
Now, I'm kind of interested in this thing right here.
Well, this is a really good condition for an old tool. But this is an old blowtorch. This is all brass. You know, it's a very decorative piece, and we sell a lot of them to decorate with. But this is still very useful. All the valves still work. They're all still free. Got the pump there to pressurize it. And then I'm told, I've never used one of these, that the soldering iron would set up here like this in front of the flame. And that's the way you would heat it up to do soldering work. Or
what's the fuel that you're using?
You know, I guess it would have been kerosene or... kerosene's all that I would know that they would use back in those days. Yeah. So,
and then that pumps it up, puts pressure on it, so when you light it up, it'll get the flame burning out there.
Yeah, yeah. And then you can heat this with a bit of soldering iron. You heat that up, and then...
I'll tell you what, though, that's very, very decorative. It's an excellent condition. I've seen those before, and they don't look as nearly as nice as this one does. So that's pretty nice. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're in the cross-eyed bull in Monroe, Texas, between Belton and Gatesville on Highway 36. And he's got all sorts of good stuff here. I think he also got a wagon jack. Last week, ladies and gentlemen, we were talking about wagons. And I've been looking at this thing and looking at this thing, and I'm thinking, what is that? Is that to put bottle caps on bottles? I don't know what it was. So here we've got a wagon jack. And once again, you've got modern versions of these things. But look at how they built these things back in the old days. If you're looking on the video, just go to the Facebook page on aaronsgunshop.com. You can check out the video. Go to the YouTube channel, Aaron's Gunshop. Go ahead, Alan. Talk to us about it.
Well, this would slide underneath the back axle of the wagon and just lift it up like that. But, you know, on a wagon or a buggy, you only need to get the tire off the ground about an inch. And it didn't take, you didn't have to jack it up very high.
Show me how that would lock into place.
Well, this is a different one than I've ever had, but here you can move this lever and you can raise this up to the height that you want it.
And then you lock it in.
Lock it in. And you bring it up like this. So I assume somebody would have to hold that. Or maybe when it got weight on it, it balanced out.
That's pretty cool.
So you just lift it up. You can take a tire or wheel off. And very primitive old jack. You know, probably from the late 1800s.
Now, Alan, tell me. You told us before, but you've got so much stuff. We can never put it all in on one video. Where can they go? I think it's your eBay store. Tell us about the kind of things that you've got on there.
Well, we try to keep we put pictures on our Facebook page weekly, you know, just so you can see a sample of what we have in the store. And our Facebook page is Cross-Eyed Bull. Then, you know, we put a lot of items on eBay because we're out here in the middle of nowhere. So we advertise on eBay, and we ship stuff out, sell stuff on there almost every day. We try to keep, you know, 100 plus items on there. We put stuff on there all the time, different things sell. Of course, we don't put a lot of our big items on there because you can't ship a cabinet to Arizona if you sell it on eBay. So you can only sell things on eBay that you can send through the post office or through FedEx or UPS or something like that, but you don't find our bigger stuff on there. But we try to keep about 100 items on there all the time.
Well, and what are your store hours here that people can come and see you?
We're open from 9 to 5:30 Monday through Saturday and 10 to 5 on Sunday. And
every day you got those orange cones out, right?
Yeah, we put those orange cones out on
Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, when you're coming up from the Belton side, you can see it a long ways coming. When you're coming from the Gatesville side, you may come over a little rise, but you'll see it right there on your left-hand side as you come from the Gatesville side. But you need to come on out to the Cross-Eyed Bull. There's just too much stuff. I want to do another pan around out real quick so they can see. This is just part of it. You need to go to Cross-Eyed Bull on eBay, Cross-Eyed Bull 254. Check it out. Go to his Facebook page. Check out this video on Aaron's Gun Shop YouTube channel, or go to the Facebook page and check it out. Alan, I'm really digging this blowtorch. It looks very pretty. Very nice for a decorative piece.
Yeah.
And a lot of these tools, just to have accent pieces in your home, or you can literally use them. I'm always looking personally myself for tools that fit my little niche that I need. And when I find one of a quality, well-made, I'll pick it up. And Alan's got a bunch of those here. So, ladies and gentlemen, check him out. Give him a call. Cross-Eyed Bull. Check out his Facebook page. Go to his eBay store, or come on out here and say hi to him in person. And don't forget, he's a very, very trusted and very long in the business when it comes to this type of stuff that he sells. His family, how long has your family been in that?
About 28 years.
28 years. So you know what you're talking about. I tell people all the time that you're a walking encyclopedia of information. You can pick up almost any object and say, well, this is that. And if you don't know, you do your history on it. Find it out and tell the people. So, ladies and gentlemen, come on out and check out Alan Lynch at the Cross-Eyed Bull in Grove, Texas, between Belton and Gatesville on Highway 36. Alan, take care of yourself.
All right. See you next week.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
You're going to go crazy at the Cross-Eyed Bull when you see all the great stuff from years gone by. Wagons, old tools, lamps, well pumps, stoves, water barrels. The Cross-Eyed Bull in the Grove, Texas, between Belton and Gatesville on Highway 36 is the place to be for the antiquer, decorator, prepper, or just anyone who wants to take a look. Tractors, chicken coops, windmills, wagon wheels. The Cross-Eyed Bull in the Grove, Texas, between Belton and Gatesville on Highway 36. Or just call 254-717-6400. The Cross-Eyed Bull.
WRBSales.com takes pride in manufacturing the highest quality firearms gear. They use only the very best materials in their products. 1,000 denier Cordura nylon, ballistic nylon, and heavy-duty YKK zippers. All of their handmade, high-quality gear comes with a limited lifetime warranty and a complete satisfaction guarantee. And much of their gear has seen actual combat duty. WRBSales.com is your one-stop shop for all your firearms gear and accessories, and whether you're looking for maximum concealment, comfort, or a combination of both, WRB's products guarantee to deliver it even in the toughest of conditions. They know the industry inside and out, but more importantly, they know what you want. Explore from the best the industry has to offer only at WRBSales.com. That's WRBSales.com.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Vitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunShop.com. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Again, it's July 30th, 2016, and we're live here still. And we're going over our topic of interest section now, which is going to be WRBSales.com, The Pretender. Now, you've heard the commercials for WRB, and you've heard me talking about it. Bill Banlow, a very good friend of mine, known him for over 15 years now. And the guy's just got great products, great stuff, great materials. Great customer service, the whole works. And here's another thing about his product, too. If you get any product that you get from WRB Sales, he's got a little tag sewn into it with his business name, with his toll-free phone number, with his website on it. Got any problems, give him a call. Very nice. Now, last week, once again, if you go to aaronsgunshop.com and go to the Facebook page, we'll have a video up. Or if you go to the YouTube channel, Aaron's Gunshop YouTube channel, you can check out one of these videos. But last time we talked about the In the Pants holster from WRB called the Insider. This one is very close. What we're going to talk about today, though, is the Pretender. And that's this one right here. It's Shirt Tuckable is what he's calling it. WRB. I mean, I've got all these holsters from him, and they all work great for their specific purpose. But let me show you real quick here. Actually, let me give you a few details. This holster is very much like the one I discussed last week, except for two major differences. One, it's dedicated left or right, not ambidextrous. And two, you can tuck your shirt in, conceal the weapon, and still have immediate access to it. And for the person who wants just one holster for dual purposes inside your pants, the Pretender is probably the way to go. Now, if you have no intentions of tucking your shirt in and you want the thinnest holster, then you may want the Insider. So, but to play it safe, though, get yourself both. Go to WRBSales.com, check them out. So let me show you now both of these holsters. I'll give you a little bit of a description and show you the difference between the two. I'm taking out the Insider, the one we talked about last week, a plain Jane, simple, ambidextrous holster, one of the thinnest ones you can get, but it's very rigid because they're using that, you know, high-density nylon, ballistic nylon, Cordura nylon, and it's very strong. But it's basic and plain. You're looking at the holster right now. It's very thin-walled. It's ambidextrous, it's got the clip, and it's got the tag I was telling you about, and it's got reinforced sides, so if you go to take the gun out and then put it back in, the upper ends where the gun goes in doesn't fold in on itself. Now, let me pull out the Pretender and tell you why this is so cool here. The Pretender comes with an ammo pouch, which is pretty nice. When I wear this particular holster, it comes connected on the clip. But when I'm wearing it, I take the mag pouch off the actual holster and I put it on the other side of my body for my weak hand to draw the mag. And the other thing is I don't want a whole bunch of stuff sticking out in front of me. So let me show you what I'm talking about here. If you'll notice this holster, it's a little bit bigger for a bigger gun. But if you'll notice this holster, it's basically got the same material and the same thickness in the walls of the holster. So 1000 denier cordura nylon. It's got the stiffeners up on the edge. It doesn't curl in like others do. It'll mold to your body when the heat gets on it. But now here's the difference. It's not ambidextrous as compared to this one where it's got a clip loop on either side. It's got the flap on the one side, so it makes it dedicated. This one's a left-handed holster for your host. Okay, and if you hear noise, I'm moving the mic. Hopefully you can see this in the camera. But what you would do is you would normally tuck this holster in your pants. It's going to go inside your pants. But if I want to tuck my shirt in so you can't see it and conceal it, all I do is I spread the two pieces apart, put the shirt inside the two, and then it's covered up. But if I need it, all I do is lift up my shirt, pull out the gun. If I had the other holster that doesn't have that flap and I tuck it in my pants, there's no way for me to tuck my shirt in because I've got this gun and holster in the way and you're going to see it. So with using the Pretender, I'm putting them both up next to each other. I'm looking at them right now. One has nothing. Here's a side. And then you'll notice that this one has the flap that comes out, and that's where the shirt goes in. So the whole holster goes in the pants. This hand is my body. This hand is my pants. There it is. When I open it up and spread it wide like this, I put the shirt in between those two pieces, and then you can't see the gun, but then you have quick access by pulling the shirt up and drawing the gun from the holster. Kind of difficult to understand when you're listening to it on the radio, but if you go to, like I said, the Facebook page on aaronsgunshop.com, go to the Facebook page, we'll be having a video up there. And then also, if you go to the YouTube channel, we'll have a video on Aaron's Gunshop YouTube channel. But the Pretender, it's called the Pretender, wrbsales.com, look up the Pretender holster. It fits just about any type of gun you can think of. He makes so many different sizes, and he lists all the different sizes by particular gun models. And this particular one that I'm looking at right now, it's a P84, and it fits a Springfield XT 4-inch, a Ruger with a 3.5-inch barrel. It's the Pretender, made out of the Condura material. Very good. Check it out. Go to his website. He's got all sorts of things there. He has a full line of accessories. And before you buy anything, you need to go check him out. You're going to like his products. And once again, there's a little tab. It's got his name on it, website, phone number, satisfaction guaranteed. So check him out, WRB Sales. Bill Banlow is the owner. You will not be dissatisfied. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to move on to our product spotlight. And this is another product from another sponsor. This is a great. This is going to be the Ruger LCR 22 Long Rifle Revolver. And this is a great revolver, for me personally as well. Now, I don't shoot revolvers much, although I can shoot them well, but it's been difficult for me to find one that is comfortable for me. The Ruger LCR is one that works for me in that point of being comfortable. And I'm going to read to you an article from the American Rifleman, and this was December 16, 2011, about the Ruger LCR 22 Long Rifle. And it's just a neat little piece. Now, ANC Firearms and Heidenhammer, my good friend Arch Kutz, he's got one on the shelf right now. They've got, I don't know how he does it. I told you about this before. Somehow, some way, he's always got the gun you want. And if he doesn't have it, he can usually get it, even the hard ones. And if it takes a little while, he usually is able to get it somehow because he has a long network of friends. But anyway, let me read to you portions of this article to give you an idea about the kind of gun this is. I like it a lot. I think you will, too. This is from Mark Keefe from the American Rifleman. 2 weeks ago, I was fortunate enough to travel to Sturm, Ruger & Company in Newport, New Hampshire to see the changes at the plant since my last visit in the 1990s and to have a sneak peek at some of the projects the dedicated and bright engineers in Newport and Prescott, Arizona have been working on. One of the guns was the Ruger Lightweight Carry Revolver, which was the first polymer-framed production wheel gun, but this version was chambered in 22 Long Rifle. Ruger's Mark Gurney has given us the go-ahead to talk about the gun. The LCR was designed by Ruger's Joseph Zajac, I believe it's pronounced, for mass production and lightweight. It combines a polymer lower frame with a steel cylinder and crane assembly and an aluminum upper frame with a steel barrel liner. Making traditional revolvers that are timed properly is actually a form of a crane science. If you have ever watched fitters at a traditional revolver plant, you will appreciate that it takes the attention of a skilled craftsman to make one work properly. Ruger put a lot of time and engineering effort into making the LCR suitable for mass production, as well as improving the double action only trigger pull by making several of the action's engagement surfaces round-on-round contact points to allow for a smooth trigger pull. And I can't argue that at all. It's a very smooth trigger pull. The other thing about the LCR is you can stack or stage the trigger repeatedly. With practice, you can get a precision shot off almost as if it were in a single action position. This is a double action only revolver, ladies and gentlemen. You only can pull the trigger. But when you have a double action revolver, if you cock the hammer, the trigger becomes extremely light. It'll go from an 8 to 12 pound trigger pull to about a 3 to 5 pound trigger pull. On this particular gun that we're talking about right now in this story, they've designed it where you can actually pull the trigger little by little to get it to that point where it's just a fine little crisp pull and it makes for a steady shot. Okay, those were my commentaries there. Back to the story. The LCR 22 makes perfect sense for those who own and carry a 357 Magnum or 38 Special. LCR as a training gun or even a trail gun. It works just the same, save for the geometry of the 8-shot cylinder. And let's face it, shooting 22s is fun. One can develop confidence in his or her choice for personal defense while shooting affordable 22 long rifle ammunition. Another reason why the 22 LCR makes sense is that some folks are exceedingly recoil shy and have issues comfortably shooting more gun than a 22, especially a lightweight gun. Also, some shooters have a hard time racking the slide of a semi-automatic pistol, which is not an issue with the LCR. Now, I'm going to make a comment on the next few sentences. While no self-respecting self-defense expert would recommend a 22 long rifle for personal protection and expect to keep their gun writer's union card, a 22 you have with you, especially with an 8-shot cylinder capacity that you can comfortably shoot and hit consistently with, is better than no gun at all, or one that you cannot shoot comfortably and accurately, and certainly better than a sharp stick. Do people use 22s for personal protection against the Council of Gun Writers? Well, North American Arms sells a lot of mini revolvers, and Bond Arms sells plenty of 22 Derringers to someone. I guess I need to turn in my gun writer union card now. The gun weighs less than 15 ounces unloaded and has a 6-groove, 1/16-inch right-hand twist barrel measuring 1/17 inches long, and the suggested retail price is 5.25. However, our sponsor here, Arch Kunst and ANC Firearms, has it priced at $4.59. So go to AaronsGunShop.com, go to the Facebook page, you can take a look at the picture of it there. Go to ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer. He's open now, go check it out. Buy one, you're going to enjoy it. The comment I was going to make, ladies and gentlemen, I would never use a 22 automatic pistol for self-defense. 22 rimfire ammo is, I can't trust my life on it. With a revolver, if I have a problem with one round, I just go to the next. Whereas if it's an automatic pistol and I have a malfunction, I got clearing malfunction headaches. I can't do it. With a large caliber gun, clearing a malfunction is not as difficult. It's quite simple. But when you have a 22, for some reason, they stick in there. But with a revolver, like this 22 LCR revolver that Ruger makes, if you got a problem with one round, just pull the trigger again to the next. And if you don't think a 22 can do damage, come on over and I'll take a shot at you. I'll show you. I bet you nobody. I bet you I got no takers on that one. Okay. Drag be nice. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take another break. I've got Police Chief Randy Dixon in the studio with me. First time we've been together, I think, since we've been doing this, Chief. And so when we come back, we're going to have the mouthpiece to the voice of law enforcement, your police chief, Cameron Police Chief Randy Dixon. We'll see you on the other side.
Arch Kunz, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. A&C Firearms, 254-983-4417.
You're going to go crazy at the Cross-Eyed Bull when you see all the great stuff from years gone by. Wagons, old tools, lamps, well pumps, stoves, water barrels. The Cross-Eyed Bull in the Grove, Texas, between Belton and Gatesville on Highway 36 is the place to be for the antiquer, decorator, prepper, or just anyone who wants to take a look. Tractors, chicken coops, windmills, wagon wheels. The Cross-Eyed Bull in the Grove, Texas, between Belton and Gatesville on Highway 36. Or just call 254-717-6400. The Cross-Eyed Bull.
WRBSales.com takes pride in manufacturing the highest quality firearms gear. They use only the very best materials in their products. 1,000 denier Cordura nylon, ballistic nylon, and heavy-duty YKK zippers. All of their handmade, high-quality gear comes with a limited lifetime warranty and a complete satisfaction guarantee. And much of their gear has seen actual combat duty. WRBSales.com is your one-stop shop for all your firearms gear and accessories. And whether you're looking for maximum concealment, comfort, or a combination of both, WRB's products guarantee to deliver it even in the toughest of conditions. They know the industry inside and out, but more importantly, they know what you want. Explore from the best the industry has to offer only at WRBSales.com. That's WRBSales.com.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, or good morning, I should say. It's just a little after 11 this morning. Hope everyone's doing fine out there. I heard Aaron or Matt talking a few minutes ago about the .22 caliber. In my career, I've seen more people hurt and injured and actually killed by .22s than probably any other weapon out there. I'm not saying it's the best weapon to carry, but they will definitely ruin your day if you get shot by one of them. Today, I was kind of contemplating on what to talk about today. And one of the things that I was looking at was, you know, over the last week or so, we've had a few nighttime intrusions or attempted intrusions here in Cameron. And I was going to discuss that. And I may at the end say a few things about that. But everyone here in town is doing a really good job of lighting their residents up, locking their doors so that we can minimize some of these people that are going around trying to get into some of the residences. One of the things that we don't want to ever create here is an information that's going to end up causing a panic in town, and that's not what we want, but we do want people to be more cautious. You know, you work hard for what you've got. You work hard for your home. It's a shame that people leave their cars unlocked, leave the doors unlocked, make it easy for people. So all we're asking is people to be diligent in what they're doing. Now, what my topic today is going to be is something that I hope is not controversial, but I know that there's a lot of people that's going to have their opinions about this, and, you know, that's fine. Everyone has opinions, and, you know, I've learned a long time ago that in my career that when you argue with someone that has an opinion, you lose. So I hope you'll understand that where I'm coming from on this today. It's real simple that, you know, a lot of things have happened in the last month, month and a half, 2 months in law enforcement. I've had a lot of brothers and sisters in blue that have lost their lives, and many of them have lost their lives on traffic stops and things of that nature. Everyone is a little bit on edge, not only in the law enforcement field, but in the civilian field and in everything. So today, but based on something that happened this past week, I want to cover what to do if you're ever stopped by the law enforcement officer, whether it's highway patrol, whether it's your local police, the sheriff's department, or whatever. This past Wednesday, I was at a men's church meeting that I attend on Wednesday mornings, and there was a gentleman there that was very vocal about receiving some citations and about getting tickets and what he thought about getting citations and tickets. And I respect his opinion. I may not agree with him, but I respect the fact that what his opinion is. You know, and I've heard people say only out-of-towners should get tickets. We should never write any citations for our local people. Well, the law enforcement and the color of law is not Cameronites. It's not Milam Countyites. It covers everybody nationwide, statewide, and countywide. So if my officers ever get to the point where they selectively pick people to issue citations to, then I think we have a bigger problem. But here in Cameron, we have some of the best citizens the town could ever ask for. Most citizens understand that for their safety of the city, traffic enforcement is a necessary evil and sometimes a necessary task. Very few actually believe it is to raise money for the city, as the city only receives a small portion of that. And I don't think people realize that. When a citation is issued, the city and the police department receives absolutely zero amount from that citation. The money goes into a general fund for the city, and only about a third of that citation goes to the city. The rest of it goes to the state and to the courts and things of that nature. You know, when you think about what happens when the traffic stop is made, it puts everybody in an adversarial situation many times. That's not what it's meant to do. Most citizens already realize that law enforcement is a difficult and dangerous profession. That has been so borne out the last couple of months. Hundreds of police officers are killed every year. Right now, the state of Texas leads the nation in the number of police officers that have been killed and injured. Not something that I'm really proud of for our state. And right next door to us, Louisiana, they're number two. So we have the two leading states for officers killed and injured right next door to each other. You know, we as police officers and administrators of law enforcement, we put a lot of emphasis on the safety of our officers. I've attended way, way too many police officer funerals. There's going to be another one this Tuesday coming up over in Round Rock. So many people, you know, I realize that everybody loses someone, but when somebody loses their life doing their job, that makes it a little bit different. You know, we place a lot of emphasis on officer safety and survival. Cameron has the good fortune of being on two major roadways that traverse the vast majority of the state of Texas. Highway 36, sometimes called the Ports to Plains Highway, brings many people from Houston and the Coastal Bend, as does Highway 77. These two major highways also bring a great deal of drugs and other illegal activity and people through our area. Certain safety practices are instilled in our officers from the first day of their careers. Although the procedures are made to maximize safety for our officers, something's going to happen sometime. Nobody is totally protected in law enforcement. You know, these safety procedures that we do, they're made basically to protect the citizens, and they're made to protect the police officers as well. Even though, you know, you have no intention of maybe doing harm to the officer, he doesn't know that. He or she is taught to handle every situation basically the same and to make sure that they use the same safety practices for each one. You know, I worked midnight shift for 7 years in Temple. And going to work at 11 at night and getting off at 7 in the morning, that's not always your best clientele out, especially in the area or the beat that I worked. And, you know, you learn certain safety issues and you learn certain safety practices that you follow just because you want to go home and see your kids the next day. And I think sometimes that comes off as rudeness, and we hope not. But the point I'm trying to make is simply this. You know, you wouldn't expect someone out here who is fighting a fire to go into a fire without wearing their bunker gear and a water hose. A police officer has to do the same thing. They have to protect cautions. They have to use those cautions to try to protect themselves. You know, I know that many, many things happen out on a traffic stop. And, you know, one of the things that I try to tell people and try to inform people is this. That's not the place to argue whether it's right or wrong. An officer has his idea that someone broke the law, And when that happens, what he does is he issues the citation, and then many times an argument ensues on the side of the street. That's not the place to hold court. Court is held in your courtrooms by a judge who's impartial, who wasn't there at the time, who can judge the facts of the case. And that's all we ask people to do. You know, as far as police officers are concerned, there is no such thing as a routine traffic stop. Each and every traffic stop has the potential for danger. There are times when citizens who have contacted the police come away with feelings of frustration. The Cameron Police Department does not condone any police officer misconduct of any type. In our experience, we have learned that many of these negative feelings are often a result of not knowing the reason an officer has made certain requests or acted in a certain manner. Unfortunately, the demands on a patrol officer do not always permit him to give you a full explanation at the time what happened. Hopefully, the information presented here will give you a better understanding of why the police officer does what he does and the reason he does what he does. If you have a question about any procedures or a complaint about your treatment, my phone is always open and my door is always open. Feel free to come down. Every police officer in this city, in this area, has a body camera, and they also have in-car cameras, and we utilize those. So what I'm saying is every traffic stop that we make is on video. The actions, the demeanor of the police officer is recorded. Something that he can't control, the minute he turns his red lights on top of that police car, the cameras come on. You know, there are many reasons why you might be stopped by the police. Whatever the reason is, the officer needs your cooperation. You may have committed a traffic violation, and he may not have in your mind. There may be a problem with your vehicle. You might have a headlight out or a muffler, a loud muffler. We got a lot of situations here in Cameron where residents believe that someone's going 60 miles an hour down a residential road. In reality, they're doing 30, which by law maybe is totally legal. But depending on where you live, 30 miles an hour may be too fast. But all we can do is enforce the law. You know, I've heard stories many times, and I laugh at that honestly. Well, I was stopped for doing 1 mile over the speed limit. I can equivalently say that didn't happen here in Cameron. I look and see every single citation that comes through, and in the almost 5 years I've been here, not one single citation has ever come through where someone was just doing 1 mile over the speed limit. So if someone comes out and tells you that, you can call their bluff, because I'm telling you that didn't happen. You know, some of the other things that we have sometimes is, you know, we do have crime in the city, where the city is not crime-ridden. But it's like any other town, we're going to have incidents that occurs. Your vehicle may be in the right area at the wrong time, or the wrong area at the right time. Sometimes we just have to stop and verify who people are. You might fit the description of a suspect. The officer might think you're in trouble and may need help, and maybe he's even just stopping to check on you. But if you're stopped by the police while driving, you may feel confused, anxious, or even angry. I know that the gentleman I talked to this past Wednesday morning, he was angry because he was stopped by another city police department. And I'm sorry he was stopped. I wasn't there, so I can't comment on whether he was righteously stopped or whether he was just upset. Law enforcement officers are killed or seriously injured while making routine traffic stops. Most dangerous thing a police officer can do is make a traffic stop. You know, police officers are extremely vulnerable during the times of darkness. I know that, think about this, at nighttime, you walk outside when it's totally dark around your house, and I know most people get a little uneasy feeling walking out at certain hours of the night, or maybe you're in a new area and it's dark. Well, just think, every police officer who stops someone at nighttime walks up to a car, he has no clue who's in, has no clue what that person is, who that person is, and you can't see inside the car. You know, I'll give you an example. Last year, we had two Cameron police officers that were injured on traffic stops that ended up with medical treatment. With this in mind, there are things that you as a law-abiding citizen could do to help lessen the unpleasantness of an experience of a traffic stop. A police officer may pull you over at any time for an offense of the traffic laws. That's his job. That's what he's hired to do. When you see the red and blue overlight headlights flashing, or if you hear a siren, main thing to do is remain calm. I've often heard everybody supports the red, white, and blue until you see the red, white, and blue in your rearview mirror. Then that kind of changes the idea about things sometimes. When you see the red overhead lights, pull over to the right, stop and just stay in your car. Remain in your vehicle and let the officer ask you to do otherwise. Please don't get out of your car. The best thing you can do is keep your hands on the steering wheel so the officer can see your hands. And don't, of all things, don't do any sudden movements or sudden jerks with your hands. That puts an officer on edge, and it makes him wonder if there's something else that he needs to know. Here in Texas, and, you know, it's perfectly legal to carry your gun many times, especially if you're a license holder. But if you have a gun in your car, or if you're going and doing legal hunting, or if you're going fishing and you take a firearm with you to shoot snakes or something, and you get stopped by a law enforcement officer, before you reach somewhere where there may be a weapon, tell that officer that you're going somewhere and that you have a weapon in that car. Don't let him find you by surprise. That puts him on edge and that puts you on the defensive. You know, don't immediately reach for anything in your glove box. If you do, tell the officer that you're doing that. You know, Texas law requires drivers to show their license, many times their insurance information. And we can verify that, but many times it doesn't come up verified. One of the things that people get upset about is when they don't have their license with them and the officer issues them a citation for no driver's license. Well, folks, that's your license to be able to get behind the wheel of a car. That needs to be carried with you. True, there are ways that an officer can check on that, but many times the computers are down or it takes too long a period of time to be able to get the return back. So carry your license with you. One of the things I will tell you this, folks, if your documents, whatever it is, your insurance, your license are out of reach, tell the officers what you're going to reach for. If the stop occurs during darkness, put your lights, put your dome light on so the officer can see inside the vehicle. I know that walking up to a darkened car at 3 o'clock in the morning, the hair on most officers' necks stands up. And they think that, you know, they don't know what's going to happen. They're at risk. You're at risk. We just want it to be a smooth transaction, just like any other transaction. If there are passengers in your vehicle, encourage them to not make comments and to cooperate with the instructions of the police officer. Many times the passengers will cause more problems than what the driver does, especially if you have someone that's either been drinking and you're the designated driver. They need to stay quiet. They need to remain calm. Let the officer conduct his business, and then you'll be on your way. You know, the officer might issue a citation. If you feel that the reason that it's the ticket is or citation is vague and you don't understand it, simply ask the officer, but ask him in a way that's not going to put it through an adversarial situation. Avoid being argumentative, folks. You know, just think about human nature. If your kids argue with you, you get on defensive, and you argue with your spouse, usually doesn't turn out a very good situation. Same thing happens with law enforcement officers. They're trained not to argue. They're probably going to walk away from you, and sometimes that even seems rude, but that's not the case. It's better for them just to walk away than to have you in the middle of an argument that's going to result in something that's going to escalate. I'm telling you, arguing won't change the officer's mind. We are taught in the police academy, and that's not always the case, that when you stop a vehicle, your mind should be made up before you walk up to that car if the infraction was serious enough to issue a citation or a warning or whatever. Many times that changes once the officer gets there. But, you know, trying to convince the officer that you didn't do it is not going to work, especially when he sees or witnesses the violation. Be honest with the officer. If you did something wrong, just tell him. If you really didn't see the stop sign or are unaware of the speed limit sign, let the officer know. It doesn't mean he's not going to give you a citation, but at least you got to say what you said. Being honest about the situation never hurts anything. That's in all aspects of life. You know, and the one thing that I want to try to convince everybody, when an officer issues a citation, it is not a personal thing. I know you may feel it's personal, but he is doing his job. If your postman delivers your mail and he doesn't put it in your box, it's not personal. It's something that he just didn't do. It's the same thing with all issues. In his or her job, a police officer took an oath that they were going to enforce the laws in the state of Texas and the city. They're doing their job. If they do it wrong, I'm the one that you need to come see. The good part about things, though, is here in Cameron, the likelihood of anyone receiving a citation is very minimal. I know that there's some cities around us that have signs that are up that says this is the speed capital of the world or citation capital of the world. But here in Cameron, to give you an example, we work 24/7, 365 days a year. A police officer averages less than one citation per shift per day. I don't think that's a speed trap. I know there are some cities around us that they will write 400 or 500 tickets a month. That doesn't happen here in Cameron. We're more concerned about keeping people safe, and traffic is not our biggest emphasis. But we do expect people to abide by the laws. We expect them to drive safely. Now, there's one other thing I'd like to discuss today, just real briefly, before we get out of here. You know, this past week and a half, there's been a number of citizens all over the town that have had their doors kicked on. Someone appears to be trying to get into their houses. We honestly believe that that's going to be juveniles. We can't prove that yet, but we're working on it. If you have someone that comes in the middle of the night banging on your door, or if someone's kicking on your door, or even if you just hear a noise that's unfamiliar, get on the phone and call 911. Don't wait 10 minutes. Don't wait 20 minutes. Don't go outside to check on them yourself. Simply call 911 and let a police officer be en route to see what they can do. Now, we'll tell you this, though. We need your help. We need to find out who's doing this because it has got a number of citizens alarmed. And that alarming situation is the fact that we're afraid somebody's going to get hurt. You know, I know that I keep weapons in my house, and many people do. And when you feel threatened, sometimes you do things that maybe you normally wouldn't do. Keep your lights on outside at nighttime. We've not had any of the houses that I've been talking about bothered, kicked on, where lights were on. Keep your lights on all the way around your house. Make sure you lock your doors and pull your garage doors down. In your cars, so many times we find that cars are unlocked and they've left things such as guns, cell phones, everything else in their cars. Lock your cars. We've had in the last, the last 6 months, probably 4 or 5 car burglaries here in the city. Not a single one was a forced entry. Every one of them was someone just simply opening the car door, taking what they want, and walking away with it. Be safe, be cautious, but above all, respect your own property if you want other people to respect it as well. I've enjoyed it this week, and if I can do anything, you know my phone number, you know where I'm at, come to the police department, feel free to come in, and we will more than be happy to help you in any way we can. So until next week, this is Randy Dixon, Chief Cameron PD. Like I said, if I could do anything for you, if you ever need any help, please give me a call. Thank you.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
You're going to go crazy at the Cross-Eyed Bull when you see all the great stuff from years gone by. Wagons, old tools, lamps, well pumps, stoves, water barrels. The Cross-Eyed Bull in the Grove, Texas, between Belton and Gatesville on Highway 36 is the place to be for the antiquer, decorator, prepper, or just anyone who wants to take a look. Tractors, chicken coops, windmills, wagon wheels. The Cross-Eyed Bull in the Grove, Texas, between Belton and Gatesville on Highway 36. Or just call 254-717-6400. The Cross-Eyed Bull.
WRBSales.com takes pride in manufacturing the highest quality firearms gear. They use only the very best materials in their products. 1,000 denier Cordura nylon, ballistic nylon, and heavy-duty YKK zippers. All of their handmade, high-quality gear comes with a limited lifetime warranty and a complete satisfaction guarantee. And much of their gear has seen actual combat duty. WRBSales.com is your one-stop shop for all your firearms gear and accessories, and whether you're looking for maximum concealment, comfort, or a combination of both, WRB's products guarantee to deliver it even in the toughest of conditions. They know the industry inside and out, but more importantly, they know what you want. Explore from the best the industry has to offer only at WRBSales.com. That's WRBSales.com.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com. Everybody to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Again, it's July 30th, 2016. We just come off the backside of the Voice of Law Enforcement with Cameron Police Chief Randy Dixon, and I've got him still here in the studio because we're going to discuss a little bit more. I'm going to extend this section out a little bit. I was discussing with the Chief what he was talking about being stopped at a traffic stop and protecting your home, both our premises, our own little worlds that we live in. However, earlier in the program, right at the beginning of the show, I asked for those people who are informed, active participants in society to give us a call here at 697-6633 and tell us what you're doing out there to engage life and to help and to contribute as compared to just sitting there on the couch doing nothing, okay? Give us a call. You don't have to brag. We're not looking for people to brag. We just want to share what you do to see and show how easy it is to get involved. But, Chief, I wanted to ask you, because all this, these fatalities with officers and things like that, and it's getting crazy out there. We're at war. I personally think we're at war. I don't know how to describe it, and I use that term war loosely, but it's accurate, I think. What can, in your opinion, Chief, or maybe your factual knowledge, a citizen here or basically anywhere, what can we do outside the realm of our car and our house to help not only themselves, their neighbors, their community, but law enforcement too?
You know, a lot of things are going on right now, and like you said, Matt, there's so many people that are on edge because, and to some essence, it is a war. You know, I don't know if it's a war that's created because of the unrest in our country. If it's, we hope not a racial war, because that would, there's really that is the most inappropriate type of war to ever have, based because we're all American citizens, all of our lives matter. But citizens, especially here in Cameron that deal with the Cameron Police Department, we ask that the number one thing you can do is just support your community. Get out and take part in your community. Let people see positive things that take place. You know, there is a theory that it's old now. It's probably 40 years old. That's called the broken windows effect. And basically what that means is that when a community lets their community run down, it invites crime in, it brings an air of crime. The broken windows remedy is to mainly clean up your community, get part of your community, find people that are interested in maybe beautifying your block or maybe beautifying a city park. And that's the, if you ask me truly here in Cameron, what is our biggest need? Our absolutely biggest need is something for kids to do. You know, citizens, if they could band together and find something that would be I don't know what, basically, but something that kids can do besides walking the streets in the evening at night. We need something that is appropriate, that's cost effective. You know, everybody talks about wanting to do something, but it costs money. You know, kids can't afford, honestly. If you go to a movies, say in Temple or wherever, you're going to spend $25 or $30 just to get in the door. And people can't afford that. Kids can't afford that. We need people, good citizens, to find things, whether it's sponsorships, whether it's some type of supper camps. And that's one of our plans maybe for next year, is to have a camp for kids here based sponsored by the police department. You know, we need citizens that's going to help with that. We need some people that's going to help maybe find food for that for the kids during the week. But something that the lower socioeconomic condition the kids can get to and do. You know, we have a little bit of a controversy going on right now, and it's hard as police officers to fix this problem. We've had a lot of complaints recently of people with their basketball goals out in the street, on the edge of the street, and kids playing basketball on the streets. That's actually against city ordinance, and there's been some people that have complained about it. So the city is making the efforts to let people aware that it is against the law to play basketball in the street or football
Chief,
streets.
I got a slight challenge with what you're saying, and I'll tell you what it is.
Okay.
Is it your job to babysit? I thought your job is to enforce. Isn't it a parent's obligation and duty to put good morals and ethics in their children so that they don't play on the street when they're told they're not, you know, if you play on the street and you don't know it and then you're told, okay, because you're an obedient citizen, respectful of law enforcement, so on and so forth, you should correct it. Hello?
I agree with you. I have found that law enforcement is, we are babysitters, we are social workers, we are sometimes refuse collectors. We have to do all that. And no, it's not really our job, but it becomes our job. You brought up a very, very good point, Matt. With young people, and this is a kind of a phrase, sometimes people want us to fix their kids or take care of their kids in 15 minutes that it's taken 14 years of them to break.
That's right.
And that's hard for us. I personally find it hard to run kids that are playing in front of their house out of the street, but we have to because that's the law. And it is a traffic hazard. But I'd rather see people around their own home than walking the streets. So it's a double-edged sword for us. But because it is the law and it is a code enforcement situation, and our fathers of the city want that enforced, that's our job to do that. But it's hard. You know, but getting back to what citizens can do, you know, I've begged for almost 5 years now, because Cameron is a dark city at night. Many of the homes don't even have their numbers on the front of their houses. And that's when an officer goes out tonight trying to help you, especially if it's something, say, a medical call or an ambulance for a medical call, and you don't even have numbers on your house or on the street or right in front of your house, it makes it difficult for us. It's just little things like that that can help us. Getting people involved is so important, so important.
I've always talked about there's three types of people out there. The first type are the informed, but it breaks down into two parts. A is informed and active participants in society. B is informed and they just still sit there. What good are they? They don't do anything. You may know a lot of things, but what good is it if you don't contribute? Then you have ignorant people. And that's the true sense of the word. They're just not knowledgeable. Not stupid, just not knowledgeable. So if you inform them and they still continue to be ignorant or informed, inactive, useless, and then the idiots. So your IQ quotient is, am I informed, am I ignorant, or am I an idiot? So the people out there, if you're listening and you're an informed, active participant in society, Chief here is giving out some great suggestions or ideas. Youth, help them out. Organize, get together. Let's all work together as a team here. I've offered twice now to call here in the studio, 697-6633, to contribute what you do to give people an idea of how it's really not that difficult to get involved. People may not get involved because they have no clue as to how to get involved. Well, Chief is telling you, if some people would call, 697-6633, mention what they do to contribute in society, maybe some people will hear that and say, hey, I like that. Maybe they won't start it on their own, but maybe they can help and support you. So please, give us a call. Give us your thoughts. And, Chief, anything else?
Well, you know, one of the things that we talk about, especially when we get into law enforcement circles, we talk about how society has changed from a family society to a me society. You know, and I think somewhere along the lines we've lost the greater good in the fact that we have to get together. You know, I've heard people say, as long as I can remember, it takes a village to raise a kid. Well, somehow we've lost that village. You know, we've lost the fact that parents should be the first one to raise their kids.
That's right.
They should teach their kids right and wrong. You know, you've got children that are out, and we see them, we stop them, we do curfew violations out at 2, 3 in the morning, and they're 13 or 14 years old. Where is the parents? Where is mom and dad? Why haven't they told those kids? That's not acceptable. And so I guess what we're saying is sometimes we have to be parents and not our kids' friends.
I think people are too afraid to say anything because they're worried about political correctness and getting the political correctness law on them. And
that's just it. I mean, I have a real issue with parents that say and this is personal now. This is just personal, but I have a real problem with parents that say, "Well, I'm my kid's best friend." They don't need a best friend when they're growing up. They need a parent to teach them right and wrong, responsibility, abiding by the laws, and what their future is going to be.
I can't disagree with you at all. I totally agree with what you're saying. It's got to start somewhere, and it starts at home.
It does.
You know, I've told my son on many occasions that it doesn't matter so much that I know he loves me. It's more important that he knows that I love him. He gets mad at me because I discipline him. That's fine. You know, I get upset, you know, with the way he'll talk to me sometimes, but I don't. It's more important that he knows that I love him than anything else. And that goes back, I'm not his friend. I'm his dad. That's my responsibility. That's my privilege.
You know what I noticed too, Trey? I've done the same thing with my boys, and that is I'm the hammer in the house, okay? Okay, the mom is the sponge and the soft and the lovey-dovey and the warmth and all that kind of, but dad is the hammer. And they know that I don't jack around. And you know what's funny? As they get to the age they are now, we were becoming very good friends. But because the foundation was set that, you know, this is the way you do things. Morals, ethics, values, and then what you teach them then, it carries on in life. And now I can enjoy that friendship with my boys.
And that's exactly what I'm, you know, I want my son to grow up to be a good person, a good man. But he's not going to just do that magically.
No.
I have to show him.
That's right.
This is how a man is supposed to behave. And a lot of times that involves being stern. When he's upset, he's crying, he's hurt, he wants to get his way, he's not happy. And, you know, I want to just take him in my arms and hug him and say, it'll be okay, let me get you whatever you want. But that wouldn't help him.
That wouldn't at all.
So,
one of the things I used to laugh about is that, and my dad was a truck driver in my first years growing up, so he was gone a lot, trying to provide for our family. But my mother was everything in our household growing up. But we used to have a peach tree right out behind our peach and plum trees right out behind our house. So when I messed up, and I know people probably find it hard to believe that I messed up, but when I messed up, she'd go out and get a switch, and she'd always say, "This is going to hurt me more than it hurts you." Well, you know what? It may have hurt her, but it hurt me pretty good. And it caused me to understand what life is. You know, I've raised two boys, two good kids. One's a fireman, one's an electrician down the coast. And I was a tough parent. I wasn't always there because I was working two or three jobs to make ends meet. But they also have grown up to be good boys, and that's what you ask for in life.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, you're all probably wondering, this is a prep show, gun show. What does this have to do with anything? It has a hell of a lot to do with it because we're prepping those kids to grow up and become, you know, pillars in society to keep the way we think life should be in good course. So there you have it. Okay, here's what we're going to do. I'll tell you what, Trey, let's take a break. Give me a short break. If necessary, I'll do a long break. And then when we come back, we're going to do a broadcast of a pre-recorded interview with Officer Paul Benton. I was with him on a ride-along. We had a great response from the first part. We're going to play the second part. I think you'll enjoy it. And it's more of basically what we're talking about, the relationship between the citizen and the citizen who wears the badge. So we'll be back on the other side, and we'll be listening to Paul Benton.
Of AMC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to A&C Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. A&C Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com. Captain Adventure Radio program. Like we stated before the commercial, we're going to be going and playing a pre-recorded interview with Officer Paul Benton on the road at a ride-along. So, Trey, go ahead, player. Share with us, the audience. So we'll be back soon. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Aaron's High Captain Adventure Radio program. We're back here again with Officer Paul Benton in an undisclosed location. I'm in the vehicle with him, riding along, checking things out, having a good time, learning a lot of things. And, Paul, we were just discussing in the break here about prowlers. And I've heard a lot of horror stories about prowlers and accidental shootings because people are out there doing things they're not supposed to. What I'd like to do in this, I guess, little segment that we've got in the interview is talk about the process of somebody in their home who feels that there's somebody outside their home or on their porch or something like that. They're prowling around or they're sniffing for a place to get in, and they call 911 and officer's on the way. So with that scenario, tell me what's going through your mind. Tell me if you got communication, go with dispatch. Tell me what you're thinking, you're hoping the homeowner's doing. What should the homeowner do? Talk to me on different angles of this scenario so that it can help anybody in that situation to not get themselves hurt by an accidental shooting of some sort.
Yeah, I always talk to dispatch. Dispatch is a lifeline. I'm going to want to know if the caller has actually seen somebody or if they're just hearing a noise. They've actually seen somebody. As much description as possible. What are they wearing? I mean, you know, what race are they? Are they big, tall, short, fat, skinny? You know, a good description of who they've seen. I would hope the caller is not opening windows and looking out and, you know, exposing themselves to possible danger. Hopefully they'll stay inside. It's a little bit safer inside. If you go outside, I mean, what if it's the boogeyman? He might eat you or something.
Let me interject you for a second. If you hear chatter on the radio, ladies and gentlemen, there's live chatter on the police radio, so that's what you're hearing. But, Paul, if they call in and you're getting the call, I would assume it was a 911 call, and I'm assuming that the dispatcher is going to try and keep that individual on the line until the officer arrives. Would that be correct?
Yes.
Okay, so they're on the line. They shouldn't be roaming around unless they're on a cell phone. So let's take it back now to your scenario here. You talk to dispatch, lifeline, you go into the house, and you're hoping that the homeowner's going to be doing what?
I hope they're going to be in the house explaining exactly where they heard the noise, what it is they heard. Most people know what noises are what noises you normally hear around your house. You know, Matt, where you, out there where you live, I'm sure you're used to hearing cows moo and horses neighing. And so if you hear tires screeching and horns blowing, that's really not that normal out there by where you live. So that would be an indicator of something that you may call in on.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's apply that break-in or that supposed break-in or criminal trespassing of that abandoned building. The next door neighbor called up and said, I see shadows. So when you went there, and I'm assuming that you discussed that with him, I mean, that wasn't very descriptive. It could have been shadows of the trees hitting the house, but a description like that is very vague. So it's obviously better to have more description as possible.
Right, yes. Any and all information that can be given is helpful.
Okay, now, the individual decides to go outside their house. Bad mistake. Would you not agree?
Yeah, on several levels. One, if you don't know what's out there, and you've called 911, believe it or not, we get paid to get into trouble, you know? Let us put ourselves in harm's way. That's why you called us.
Paul, in the just a couple seconds ago, we were talking about how you're now coming on scene to a property that the homeowner called up 911, said there's a prowler on the house. But you're coming up to the property. We're saying how you need to stay in the home, not go outside. Give us some reasons or explain when you come on property what you're going to be doing. So those who are listening right now, God forbid if anything ever happens and they're going to be the ones checking a prowler on their house and police are on the way, they have an understanding of what's going to happen with the potential clash.
Well, if you call the police and you're waiting for them to get there and all of a sudden you decide, well, I'm going to go out here and check and see what's going on. So you grab your gun or whatever and you go outside and you're in the backyard, you're flashing your light around. You haven't told dispatch you're doing this, and we arrive on scene. Well, we're seeing that flashlight, so we're, you know, coming around the edge of the house, and the homeowner has heard our car pull up, so they're thinking, well, I need to go let the police know what's going on, and we meet at a corner.
Bad.
And all I'm seeing is somebody in the yard with a flashlight and a gun, and my call was there was a prowler. Probably going to show you what the business end of my gun looks like real quick.
I'll tell you what, Paul, this is a perfect illustration here. There was one time when my alarm system went off in my gun range, my gun shop.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm down there and the call's been made. I've got the automated alarm system that alerts the police department, the sheriff's department, the whole works. And they had badges coming on scene, but I'm already down there with my M4 and my pistol checking it out, seeing what's going on, and I've got PD and I got SO people coming out, and here I am down there at the shop and I've got an M4, I'm in my jammies, but they're coming down the drive and they see this guy, this crazy looking guy with an M4 in his hand. I mean, I can imagine what they're thinking. So I'm putting my hands up saying, no, it's not me. And they know me. I was very fortunate that they know me. There's not too many people out there who don't know who I am. But it's just, that's a perfect illustration of how I'm going down to protect my property and police are on their way and there could be a confusion that I am the person that they're hunting and that could have been ugly.
Yes, it could have been very ugly. I know of a business owner at a former agency I've worked for. He's also a police officer, and his business had been hit. Well, anytime his alarm went off, me and him would get there at about the same time. Now, luckily, I knew who he was, so when he bails out of his car in his jammies with an M4, I knew him. And I was glad to see him, because, hey, now I got some backup. But that's not always the case. 9 times out of 10, the officer's not going to know you. And when they're out there looking for a prowler and you pop around the corner, well, I just found a Prowler.
That's right. You know, another thing you just said that made me think of something else was the homeowner can be, even if the homeowner isn't a threat or the officer knows that, has located the homeowner, the homeowner should not think that they're going to be assisting the officer. When you're maneuvering around, when you're checking things out, especially with a partner, you know each other. You know how each other handles themselves under stress, hand and arm signals, look at the eyes. You can just tell what their next step's going to be. So if you have a homeowner who's trying to assist you, one, is detrimental. Two, they shouldn't be doing it in the first place. And so don't do that, right?
Right, right.
Now, when I was down there and law enforcement was coming, obviously, I mean, I've known these guys and it wasn't that much of a deal, and I'm actually going in the building with them because I'm opening up the door, so I'm the first one in there. But in a normal situation where somebody's not trained, just stay low, keep the phone to your ear, keep talking to 911, be the best witness you can, and then all that information will be relayed to you, the officer, from dispatch, right?
Correct.
Okay, so to wrap this all up on this particular part of this, what would be the bottom line, Paul? Wrap it up.
As far as what to do when the police get there?
Just sit tight.
Sit tight. We'll come to you. I promise. We're going to knock on the door and say, hey, I searched. I looked. Everything looks good.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the people on the outside of the building. When somebody breaches in, that's a totally different ballgame.
That's a whole talking.
I mean, that's a whole new ball of wax. But we're specifically talking about you or the homeowner going outside of their secured building to search for the Prowler, especially when police are on their way and there's potential confusion of who you are and that can cause a potential accident. So that's the mindset of an officer. So, Paul, that's awesome from your perspective. You also get the perspective of dispatch and the badge, and it can be very messy. So lock your windows, lock your doors, have security lights. Call 911. Sit
Matt,
tight.
Can I say one more thing?
You can say two more things if you want.
ladies that are listening, if the officer shows up, don't get behind him and push him. Because I couldn't tell you how many times I've gone where there's been a lady at home alone and she's heard a noise, and so you're searching. The next thing you know, she's right behind you, looking around you or over your shoulder.
Well, you're,
what do you see? What do you see? And she's got you by the back and... You think maybe you heard something. She pushes you towards the noise. Well, hold up now, lady. Don't do that.
Okay, well, that's a man of experience here, so it must happen more often than not. So, ladies, stand back and let the officer do his duty. All right, Paul, we're going to cut it off on this. But I'll tell you what, I think this is good for the interview. Maybe we'll get you back again for some more perspective on different aspects of wearing the badge, being on the beat, and knowing what's going on so that you can relay it to us, the listener, and a law-abiding citizen. So I want to thank you very much for your time, for allowing me to ride along with you. And it's a lot of fun, and sometimes it can be intense, and sometimes I like that. So I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Welcome, everybody. That was a great interview with Paul, Officer Paul Benton. Got to tell you, though, he is now uprooted and gone to Alaska. Him and his wife and family have gone to Alaska. Job openings up there, couldn't resist. And my goodness, why not go to Alaska and, you know, see the great lands of the state of Alaska and see all the things that it has to offer? I can't blame him a bit. Anyway, we've got about 5 minutes left in the program. So what we're going to do is our gun training demo. And this is called half-cock, decock, hammer blocks. When going over the gun handling portions of my license to carry class and seminars, there comes a point when I ask the student to show me the safeties on the gun. I'll say, show me this or show me that. And I'll get the weirdest looks because they don't know what I'm talking about. A few terms in question are the half cock, decock, and hammer block. Now, in January of 2008, I wrote an article covering this, so I'm going to read it to you because it's just as good now as it was back in 2008, and hopefully it will help you better understand these terms. In case you weren't aware, I've had my own radio shows, been on radio shows, been guest little segments on shows, so I've got a whole bunch of stuff here. But anyway, this is from January 2008, and it goes...
Half cock, geek cock, hammer blocks too. Sounds like the beginning of a song, doesn't it? Last week in one of my classes, I had a student who was quite confused on the terminology and what each one of those terms actually do in relationship to the gun. Well, simply put, they are all safety mechanisms. The purposes of these devices are to prevent the hammer of the gun from making contact with the firing pin. Why do we want to do that? Well, when we're not using the gun, for example, like if you have it holstered, or you've just fired the gun and now you want it on in the safe position, we want to prevent the gun from accidentally discharging if someone were to drop the gun or take possession of the gun from you. So let me try to give you a visual on each device. The first one's the half cock. A perfect illustration of this would be the 1911. If there is a round in the chamber and you want to carry the gun with a hammer in the down position, there is the slight chance that if the gun is dropped and falls on the hammer would have enough inertia to hit the firing pin and cause the gun to discharge. Putting the gun in the half cock position eliminates this problem. And if you can get a mental visual on this, if I got the gun in my hand and I cock the hammer, it goes click, click. Well, click, click is full cocking of the hammer. All I got to do is pull the trigger. But if I have the hammer down and I go just click, it's in a half cock position. It won't move. It doesn't have any inertia and I can't pull the trigger to make it fire. Okay, now, number two, the decock. This is used for when the hammer of the gun is in the full cocked position. If we want to put the hammer down, we can use the decock lever, which drops the hammer and protects the firing pin from being struck at the same time. A perfect illustration of this would be on a Beretta 92 or an M9, like the military uses today, that military pistol. The third one is the hammer block. Some guns don't have a half cock or a decock, but do have a hammer block. Simply, when the hammer is down, a small lever can be moved to put the block between the hammer and the firing pin. Some guns have one or all of these, so it's difficult to be very specific without actually talking about a specific gun. The bottom line is that it's one more step that has to be overcome to cause an accidental discharge. Accidental discharges are a bad thing. Whatever gun you own or decide to buy, be sure to know how it functions. Using a gun and not knowing how all the bells and whistles work is an accident waiting to happen. So please come see me if you have any questions, and I'll be happy to answer them and go over how your gun functions. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I've got only about a minute left here. On August 6th, Saturday at 2 o'clock, I've got a license to carry class. $60. Sign up now. Go to aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the license to carry page or give me a call or give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and sign up for the class. It's $60. You just need your driver's license, a 32 caliber or larger, and then you need 50 rounds to do it. Give me a call. Come on out. And until next week, keep your powder dry and God bless.